Because I think it is. Let me just. All right, thanks. Going to talk in very plain language about how finance is percolating through our economy. The reason why I chose for this this title is that many people outside this room see nature nothing more than bees and trees. I think that's just the reality. The reality is that we've been fighting against nature for our entire existence, and we continue to do so on a day-to-day basis. What I will show is that nature is actually underpinning the economy. About 50% of our global GDP is underpinning both the real economy, agriculture, mining, and that in turn underpins the financial economy. You can basically see it as a wedding cake with nature being the base of the cake. And these are some images of sectors that you all know. You won't go to an island if the reefs aren't healthy. And so in order to sustain tourism, we need healthy reefs. In order to weather against storm surges, you need mangrove. You need wood for construction. You need agriculture for life, basically. And we've been doing this. Sorry, can I just do this myself? Thanks. All right. So we've actually been degrading our environment, as everyone knows. And as I said, we're actually throwing pocket money at nature-based solutions. The reason why I put an ice cream and a piece of candy here is that the so-called gap in nature-based solutions is basically what we're spending on ice cream and candy on an annual basis. We're spending about $350 billion on ice cream and candy, and at the same time, we're robbing the bank on a day-to-day basis. So for every dollar we're spending on nature-based solutions, we're basically extracting $30 from our bank account, day-to-day, every day. And what does it lead to? It leads, that's the deforestation you see on the right, it's coral bleaching, it's mountaintop removal, it's ivory trade, it doesn't matter. All of it basically boils down to the same thing. We're extracting value without paying for it. And you can also see this as an iceberg. We're basically focusing on closing the biodiversity finance gap. We basically need to also look at the iceberg below the water. If we don't do that, we won't actually turn around. And what this piece of work, the State of Finance for Nature, shows is how finance is percolating for our economy. If we want to achieve all of those 19 targets, you need to change the way how money percolates for our economy. It's as simple as that, basically. We've been kicking the can down the road, short-term gain for long-term pain, but that pain is starting to hit us, basically. There's a lot of research that shows that the financial and economic cost is already starting to come to us now, any country in the world. There's evidence that there's going to be sovereign downgrades, meaning that countries will lose their credit rating all the way from 1 to 7 notches. That doesn't sound like a lot, but it might mean moving from investment grade to junk grade. If a country sees a reduction in their sovereign downgrade, it means that the cost to borrow money on capital markets will rise. It also means that companies who want to borrow money in that same jurisdiction will have to pay more to borrow money. The debt servicing will rise, and the annual annual cost to the global economy will be in the range of 3% of GDP already by 2030, so that we're talking about 3 to 4 years from now. So these are the real economic and financial costs, simply because we've been kicking the can down the road each and every day, and that rubber is starting to hit the road right now, basically. It's starting already right now, whether it's here in Switzerland, whether it's emerging markets, everywhere. And I think what we need to realize is, rather than fight against nature, as the Secretary General would say, we need to work with nature. And I think there's quite a few examples all around the world where this is happening, from Geneva, where we heard Nicola talking about, or Aline, to far away places. The question is, will these remain exemptions, or will this become more the rule in the future? These are sponge cities that have been popping up in China and in places in Africa, where water and green spaces are brought in. You spend more, meaning high capital expenditure, but the ultimate operating costs are lower than a business usual scenario. So looking at purely from a financial perspective, it's doable. Something you might not have heard of, but there's a lot of innovation on concrete, where bacteria that excrete limestone are being embedded in concrete structures. They won't be able to heal major tears, but smaller ones can definitely be healed if water is being connected to concrete. And so that increases the longevity, for example. Might not be equated immediately with pristine nature, but we need to think as nature as something broader, something that we need to embed for our economy, from manufacturing to coal restoration here, to bringing nature in the city, or moving the way how agriculture is being conducted. I think we need to deviate from nature as a pristine resource to nature as a resource that we need to hardwire in our day-to-day basis. Close to home, how our food systems work, and how we build our infrastructure. Thanks for that.